It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Milwaukee is home to one of the largest populations of Rohingya people in America. The nonprofit Burmese Rohingya Community of Wisconsin has served resettled refugees for the past 6 years. The Biden administration formally announced earlier this year its conclusion that violence committed against the Rohingya by Myanmar's military amounts to genocide and crimes against humanity. Join in on refugee resettlement in your community, the healing that goes on after war trauma and torture. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mohammed Anwar is founder and executive director of Burmese Rohingya Community of Wisconsin. Anwar, welcome to the Ideas Network. Anwar, can you hear me? I think we're having some trouble here with our mic situation and getting a guest. I can't hear a connection. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We have some technical difficulties this morning. Please bear with us. We're hoping to talk with the nonprofit Burmese Rohingya Community of Wisconsin. Biden administration earlier this year announcing their conclusion that the violence committed against the Rohingya people by Myanmar's military, it amounts to genocide and crimes against humanity. Secretary of State Antony Blinken has determined that members of the Burmese military committed genocide and crimes against humanity. And many Rohingya have ended up in Milwaukee, and we're hoping to hear their story as well. You can join in at 800-642-1234 as we try to work here some technical difficulties. Let's go, Andrew. Andrew, can you hear us? Andrew Trumbull, co-founder of the organization.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, great, Andrew. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that we can connect with you. So can you give your reaction? What does this declaration of genocide mean to you?
Well, I think for the Rohingya community, they've known that for years, if not decades. To have the United States come out publicly and make a statement like this is quite powerful. I think it gives validity to the situation, and so that it's not just like an NGO that's making a statement like this, or the United Nations, but one of the world leading nations. So I think it's incredibly important to hear that.
And Anwar, you're with us now as well. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, yes. What does this declaration and, you know, Secretary of State Antony Blinken saying, you know, that members of the Burmese military committed genocide and crimes against humanity, how do you feel about that declaration?
Well, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. We are suffering for a long time, and this is long overdue, you know. So all the Rohingya peoples are, you know, thankful. You know, this is a very important decision by the powerful country of the world. So this is really defining moment, you know, for us, you know, for the Rohingya people, you know, announcing that Burmese military, you know, committed genocide, you know. So we are grateful, and yeah, we are now working towards that goal, yeah.
Anwar, how do you help people who are suffering from war trauma, who have seen atrocities unimaginable, who are suffering from torture? How do you begin to help?
Well, my people have been suffering, you know, and for a long time, suffering in the hand of the Burmese military. And in the overseas, in Malaysia, Thailand, and, you know, Bangladesh. So when people come here, you know, they have a lot of needs and a lot of trauma. So that's why, you know, I and my partner, Andrew Trumbull, come up with this idea to form a nonprofit organization so that we can better help our people, you know. So we have a lot of you know, good programs, you know, that we deal with our people. My partner Andrew can, you know, jump in and better explain this.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, you know, how do you work with this organization to help with so many needs?
Yeah, it's a good question. So when we got together and founded BRCW, it was really based around Anwar's ability to communicate, since so many of the Rohingya arrive here without any English, like language acquisition. Folks just started lining up and asking for his help to read mail, to apply for things, really every kind of day-to-day thing that requires the English language, which is pretty much everything. And so we wanted to formalize this kind of system of support and created a 501c3. And so interpreting and communication is at the basis. Education and health, I think, would be the main themes of our programming and what the work that it is that we try and do to support the community.
These military attacks have forced many Rohingya to flee to Bangladesh. So can you help us understand from these refugee camps in Bangladesh, how do they get to Milwaukee, Wisconsin?
So resettlement is a really kind of a long process. It's sort of like a green card lottery where a bunch of people apply and only a small amount are accepted. In resettlement, these people, instead of just applying to be resettled into another country, they need to be vetted. And the process takes usually between 10 and 20 years. And there's only certain countries that are resettling. So for the Rohingya, they can't be resettled out of Burma or out of neighboring Bangladesh, but they would have to get to a country like Thailand or Malaysia, where the United Nations has operations. And so the journey that the Rohingya take to the United States usually involves fleeing to Bangladesh and then using human traffickers to traverse the Bay of Bengal, which is takes somewhere between a couple weeks and a couple months, depending on the waters, to get to Thailand, where human traffickers have camps set up. And basically, the refugees that they have, they can try and get them to other countries. And once they're in those countries, if they can get in the hands of the United Nations, they can apply to be a registered refugee and then apply to be resettled to a high income country like the United States.
Such a long and harrowing process where so much is at risk and so much could ultimately go wrong. Let me reintroduce you. We have the co-founders of the Burmese Rohingya Community of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, Andrew Trumbull there and Mohammed Anwar. The Nonprofit Center supports the Rohingya community through translation, through direct services and classes. You can join in on refugee resettlement, 800-642-1234. Anwar, you arrived in Milwaukee in 2015. Can you explain why did you flee Myanmar?
This is another very interesting and personal question, you know.
Yeah.
So, let me try, you know, because whenever I touch my personal story, you know, I become very emotional. So,
sure.
Yeah. So I left, you know, from Burma in 2000s, you know, 2001 and 2, you know, around that. So that times, you know, there is an incident happened. And I was looking, military was looking for me, to put me behind the bar for an unlimited period of time or, you know, kill me. And because of that fear, I fled from the country. And I know. And then from there, as my friend Andrew mentioned, I took a boat journey, come to Thailand and Malaysia, you know, where I registered with UN as a refugee.
Do you have any contact with your siblings?
I have only contact via telephone, you know. I was not able to see my family. It's been more than 2 decades now, you know, just have contacts. Some of them are in Bangladesh refugee camps, and some of them are in inside Burma, you know. Now the situation is very dire. The military, you know, blocked everything. You know, there's food shortage, you know, so food prices rising up, people don't have jobs, you know. So now the situation is very, you know, very worrisome, you know, right now inside Burma.
Anwar, you speak five languages, and you are the first Rohingya certified medical interpreter in the U.S. What is challenging about being one of the few Rohingya translators in Wisconsin?
Actually, you know, I feel a lot of pressure by that, you know, because Rohingya is a very specific language. It is a spoken language, you know, we don't have script for that. So if you are, you know, if you are not born inside Burma, you know, if you are, if you don't have experience, if it is very tough, you know, to interpret. Yeah. So when I came here, we received a lot of requests because I have been interpreting or translating since I was, you know, in Burma, you know, with the United Nations in Malaysia, again with the United Nations, and with the, you know, United States Department of Homeland Security. So when I came here, I see there's a lot of needs, you know, for that. And we receive a lot of requests. We are overwhelmed, you know. So, yeah, I wish, you know, we could have more more people, you know, who are qualified in our language, you know.
It shows how communication is absolutely vital.
Yes.
Mohammed Anwar and Andrew Trumbull with us. They lead the nonprofit Burmese Rohingya Community of Wisconsin, creating programs offering services specific to this refugee population. Join in the conversation, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Nearly 2 years ago, Sesame Workshop debuted its first Rohingya Muppets as part of its humanitarian program supporting children and families affected by the Rohingya refugee crisis. Milwaukee Rohingya families gave feedback on the siblings Noor and Aziz. And here are these Muppets at the start of a Sesame Street Playtime episode.
Hoi, hoi, hoi! এখন শামো শিকার
হই 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 এখন শামো কেলার
তালে তাল দো চ্যাংগুয়া নাচাও হই 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 হই
Join in on the Rohingya community and relief efforts you work on with other refugee groups, 800-642-1234. We have Mohammed Anwar and Andrew Trumbull. They head up the Burmese Rohingya Community of Wisconsin. Stay with us. So, Andrew, your community helped Sesame Street create these two characters, Noor and Aziz. What was that role like?
It was really, really cool. I mean, obviously, having Sesame Street reach out is kind of a high point, I think, for anyone. And to see them do work in this space to create Rohingya language episodes and even make new Muppets is just really, really exciting. And honestly, at the time, we didn't know really the impact that it would have here. So it was intended for the kids in the world's largest refugee camp, Kutupalong. But after
in Bangladesh.
Mm-hmm. And they released the videos, and we solicited feedback from families. They let us know that this would be something that they wanted to show their kids here and use as a language tool to help teach their kids Rohingya, since they're mostly learning English living here.
Anwar, your children have seen the Sesame Street characters. What do they think of them?
Yeah, so they think, you know, it's pretty cool. You know, it's useful for the kids here, you know, in the diaspora Rohingya community outside of Burma. And also it's good, you know, for the kids in Bangladesh refugee camps. At least, you know, they have got a chance, you know, to see in their own language what our kids used to hear in America, in English languages, you know. So they are pretty much appreciative of that. And they're also learning, you know, from the video, you know, learning exercises and learning our own language as well, you know.
I was really moved by seeing the scenes of these Muppets actually in a real refugee camp in Bangladesh. And you know, there's Elmo playing and talking with a child in the dirt on the ground with like metal fencing all around. And it was such a stark contrast. I mean, such a world away from Sesame Street scenes. And I was moved by how authentic it was, Anwar. And yet I also realized that these children are just getting this moment, this glimpse of first world security and happiness. How do you feel about those two worlds and bridging that?
Yeah, so again, you know, the kids in refugee camps, they don't have opportunity, you know, they are there, they don't have, you know, good hygiene, you know, they don't have food security, you know, they don't have, you know, proper schooling, you know. So kids here, they are very lucky, you know, they have everything that they need, you know. So, yeah, so there is a huge difference between these two worlds, you know. So sometimes also I am, you know, talking to my children that, you know, so you have a lot of opportunities in this country. So don't take it by granted, you know. So, you know, you see the Bangladesh refugee camps, you know, they don't have all these opportunities, you know, you are the same kids. So they understand that, you know. So sometimes, you know, I'm planning to, you know, take them there, you know, so that they can see their naked eyes, you know, and get some experience from that.
Andrew, how do you feel about that, seeing glimpses of the refugee camp and contrasting that to American lives and American television, Sesame Street, such an icon for children here?
Yeah, it's hard for me to really grasp it, since my experience is really only in, you know, high-income countries. I can't really fathom it. I've heard stories over and over, and, you know, we've worked with a lot of families here. And what I guess I can relate it to is the American experience versus their experience here. And like Anwar mentioned, it's that they don't take anything for granted. Once things are taken away, is only when you can really truly value it. Mm. And so community here, I see kids going to school and really happy to be in school, because a lot of them remember a time when they weren't able to go. And for adults to be able to hold jobs and buy property and have these rights and security is a new thing for them. And seeing them navigate it is a really, I guess, important part of the experience for me.
We're talking with the leaders of the Burmese Rohingya community of Wisconsin in Milwaukee, Andrew Trumbull and Mohammed Anwar. You can join in at 800-642-1234. This year, Fort McCoy temporarily housed around 13,000 Afghan refugees after fleeing violence there. Some immigrated to Wisconsin. You know, Anwar, what have you learned from other Wisconsin refugees that informs your work at the center?
Other refugees and Rohingyas, you know, there is a little bit different because other refugees, they are, they're well established, you know, not like us, you know, we are stateless and we don't have educations, you know, they are much more prepared when they come to the United States than us, you know, because of the country they live in, because of their status in their own country, and you know, because of their education opportunities and other kinds of opportunities, you know. So Rohingya are the one who are most struggling, you know. So that is, I find it quite different between us and the other refugees.
We only have a few seconds left, Andrew. What can people do in their own communities to help?
I think volunteering is really important, and keep showing up. That's oftentimes the only way things get done is when someone is there to do it. And to your other question, to Anwar, I think in a lot of ways we're following in the footsteps of a lot of other refugee communities. Like we look at the Hmong community that's been here for generations, and we see what they've been able to do in their community, the type of development and rising leadership and advocacy that's taking place, and it's really inspiring for us. And it kind of, they're trailblazing, and we're just kind of following suit. And
Yes. And it takes, as you mentioned, generations. I want to thank you both for joining us.
thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Andrew Turbul, co-founder, and Mohammed Anwar, founder and executive director of Burmese Rohingya Community of Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.